Here we are in the third part of a three-part series talking about Amazon advertising. If you're promoting your book with Amazon advertising, then I've got some advanced tips for you in today's little talk. So you're going to want to make sure that you stay tuned to today's podcast.
Learn how to publish profitable books and build an unstoppable author brand with indie author and self-publishing coach Dale L. Roberts. This is the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast.
What's happening is Dale here, and I'm just tickled to death you took a little bit of time out your day to spend a little bit of time with me to talk about one of my favorite things, self-publishing. We're really pushing forward. We've been on this topic of promoting your book for the past month and a half or so. If you happen to miss any of the past podcasts, you want to go back and review some of those. And we're going to continue to talk about marketing and promoting even past this three-part series because there's other avenues we need to explore. But rest assured, we're not quite done with Amazon advertising just yet, but it is important that I pay the bills, all right? Those pesky things that come in the mail, and part of those bills are getting paid due in large part to folks like you that listen into the podcast, and of course, great sponsors out there like Pro Writing Aid. Today's podcast is exclusively sponsored by Pro Writing Aid. Pro Writing Aid is the only platform that offers world-class grammar and style checking combined with more in-depth reports to help you strengthen your writing. Get free access or 20% off premium access when you visit the sponsored link at dalelinks.com/prowritingaid. If I recommend anything, I would say get the premium access, grab lifetime. You will thank me later. You know, once when this whole lockdown pandemic stuff clears, you'll come over and you give me a big old kiss on the cheek and a huge hug because you go, man, you got me to get lifetime access. I'm saving a ton of money in the long term. I know. I got lifetime access myself too, but I didn't get it for 20% off. You can get it for 20% off when you go to dalelinks.com/prowritingaid. Fair warning, I always open up this whole thing when it comes to paid advertising. Do not invest what you cannot stand to lose. Right? You shouldn't be investing any money if you aren't willing to part ways with it without any return. Paid ads are never guaranteed. I don't care what course creator or what scammer is going to be telling you how, oh, if you just follow the XYZ, you're going to be able to crush it in this business. That is simply not true. I'm going to give you some advanced tips in today's podcast, but is it going to solve all your problems? Probably not, but I'm hoping that I can give you enough information to make you slightly dangerous so that way you can start to hopefully get more book sales and leverage Amazon advertising the right way. So go back, review the last two episodes, episode 90 and episode 91 of the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast, where we talked about promoting your book with Amazon advertising. I went through the very basics. Last week, I went through research ads. This week, we're going to kind of look at the data and some of the things that you're going to want to analyze a little bit closer. For the sake of ease, all right, so I make it really simple, I'm going to say keywords. And when I say keywords sometimes, it's interchangeable with products or categories. Because you can go ahead and do manual targeting based on keywords, products, and categories. So rather than me saying keywords, products, categories 50,000 times throughout the course of this podcast, if I say keywords, just assume products and categories. It's interchangeable. All right, we're gonna really mine the metrics today. That's really what we're gonna be most paying attention to. And I've talked about impressions, I've talked about clicks, and I've talked about buys. Those are just the solids. But there's some other things you need to take into account, including something that is called ACoS. All right, that's called, I think it's the, oh gosh, I'm slipping my mind, average cost of sale. And it's typically the percentage that you're going to see. It's a quick and dirty metric. Is it the be-all, end-all? No. When I say quick and dirty metric, you can look at that and go, oh, okay. If you can assume, let's say that you're selling your ebook, you got an ad on that, and your ebook is at 70% royalty. And if you've got an ACoS of, let's say, 10%, a simple, quick and dirty way of figuring out what your actual net profit's going to be is you're going to take that 70% and you're going to go ahead and subtract the 10% of the A cost from that to get your total net royalty. And then you can take that net royalty, multiply it on the sales, and then you'll be able to see what your profits are. Again, quick and dirty. A cost, though, as you will find out as we're talking a little bit more about it, it's not the only thing you should be paying attention to. Sales and page reads are not 100% accurate. In fact, Amazon advertising is not 100% accurate. There are times where your page reads and your book sales are going to be very delayed by like a few days sometimes, especially if someone's ordering print books. And then other times they're just not even tracking it for whatever reason. So you're going to want to make sure that you always double check everything. You're going to look at your total sales of a given title or titles in general if you're doing ads on all of them versus the Amazon ads reported sales. I had an old friend of mine, big shout out to him. We'll just say his name's Darren. And Darren and I used to talk about this. And I used to just cringe when he'd say, well, I noticed I had some sales increase way more, but it's not being tracked as ads in my ads dashboard. And I was like, nah, you can't count those. Those were organic. And, you know, Darren actually wasn't inaccurate. Actually, if you see a correlation between running ads and book sales increasing, then you can probably make a pretty good assumption that those ads are working, even if it's not being tracked accurately through Amazon ads. With that being said, anytime you have an ad and you're looking at it and you're going, oh my gosh, the A cost is 200%. I'm out. No, don't kill that ad. Never kill an ad without knowing this first. Knowing, okay, am I getting a return on my investment? You could be putting in, let's say, $10 in ad spend. But let's say that you're actually bringing in $20 in net profits. With the net profits coming in at $20 and $10, well, at least you've put in one, bought back two, you pay for the ads, and you got money left over. That's not too bad. So never kill an ad first. Now, next thing is, first, this is a perfect segue over just talking about this. If you've got a series of books, a first in series, it's always a good idea if you're running an ad to the first in series that you look at your read-through, meaning that if it's in the KDP Select program, how many pages are being read of each subsequent book. The next thing is going to be buy-through, and this applies to everyone. You send an ad to book one, but then you see that there is about 10 books of book two being sold and 5 books of book three being sold. So you see that there's a buy through, or if it were page reads, it would be a read through. So you see that percentage, it's kind of nice. It tells you that even though you're sending ads, let's say for instance, over to the first in the series, and let's say you're losing money hand and fist, you're looking at this and going, oh my gosh, my ACoS is 300%. And, I don't know, this is not worth it. But if you start to add in the total series buy-through and read-through, you'll see that even though you're losing money on that first in series, it might be washing out by the time that it goes all the way through. So that's why it's always a good idea to get a good overhead view of your dashboard, of your series, of everything inside your KDP account, before you go, well, let's go ahead and just pull this ad. It stinks. It sucks. Next thing up, metrics on our mind. We're going to focus on search terms report. Oh man, when they rolled this out about a year or so ago, it was gold. Gold. Chef's kiss. I love it. It was one of those things that when that came out, I was like, oh my gosh. They're literally showing you what people are looking for when they stumble on your ad and when they click on it. Ooh. And then furthermore, if they buy or they read any of your content, if it's through KDP Select, That part is really cool. The thing that sucks about search term reports, and I really wish they would fix this. Don't know why they've got it limited to 60 days. Give me lifetime reports, for crying out loud. Like, what's it gonna hurt? So, search term reports work like this. Let's say, I'm Senior Browser. I'm going ahead minding my own business. I'm looking up some books about werebear shapeshifter romance. Ha! Here comes Dale's latest book about werebear shapeshifter series book one. And I see that and I go, that looks cool. I go ahead and click on it. Now what it's going to do is it's going to show over in search terms report that I searched up werebear shapeshifter series. It'll show that specific term. Maybe if I just even looked up a specific book and I saw that ad, it'll show that inside your search terms report. There's two ways we can look at this. Two ways. We've got high converting keywords. That means when somebody searches it up, they see your ad, it's being served, they click on your ad, they buy. Ooh, we just had a good signal here that says this might be a search term or a keyword or a product or category. Here I'm going. I'm saying all three products. Good Lord. Come on, Dale. We've got this specific thing. We brought it up. There's some relevance that when someone looks this up, that they're buying. Now, one might be worth looking into. Two, now you're talking. 10, even better. 100, that is something we're going to be talking about here in just a second here. We're going to talk about statistical significance, easy for me to say. So we're looking at those high converting keywords, but conversely speaking, the second thing we got to mind are the low converting ones, the poor converting keywords. We could take those specific ones that are just draining our budget. We've got 10 clicks on this. Every time someone looks up werebear shapeshifter series, Senior Browser says, I don't like it. Senior Browser number 2, I don't like it. Browsing customer number 3, and so on and so forth. They don't like it. They don't, for whatever reason. I know right now that after 10 clicks, maybe even 100 clicks, I'm like, that word is dead to me. I'm going to take that word, that exact phrase, and I'm going to drop it into negative keywords or negative products. So that way, anytime someone looks that up, they will no longer see my ad there. I won't be losing money. And the nice thing is, you know, from this day forward, this poor converting keyword may not be the keyword for you to put in future ads. With high converting ads, you can be able to take those high converting keywords on a separate list and build separate ad campaigns. So it'll be a second edition, third edition, or even fourth edition of a specific ad. Because as you start to compile all this information, you'll be able to see, ooh, I got slam dunk victory on this, 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 and this keyword. And ooh, I'm awful on this one, and this one. We'll take all of the bad ones and we're going to throw them into negative keywords. All of the good ones, we're going to go ahead and target those. All right, let's keep moving forward because there's a lot of stuff we got to cover here when it comes to some of this stuff. Search terms report, though, please, folks, don't sleep on that because it's only good for 60 days at a time. So you want to make sure you're checking it at least weekly. Statistical significance. All right. So you've actually, if you ever got a chance, go back and watch an interview I had with Brian Meeks where he talks a little bit about statistical significance. And that means that is there enough evidence that would say that, this is absolutely significant to what I would say is going to be a positive outcome or a negative outcome. We can't determine based on a single click that doesn't get a buy that, well, that keyword's bad. Same thing could be said with 5, 6, or 7. 10 keywords, possibly. 100 keywords is a little bit better because you have something that's a little bit more solid. You're going to be able to view this in the overall dashboard to see in a campaign, if you've got 100 clicks, if that ad campaign is actually successful. In a single keyword, maybe not so much. On a granular level, you may want to have to drop the number of clicks, because let's just look at it this way. If you're paying about 50 cents cost per click for a specific keyword, and you're profiting about, say, $2 per ebook sale, well, by the time that you've had right about 4 clicks, you better have converted to a sale. Otherwise, you're functioning way into the red. And it's going to take quite a few books for you to make up the difference. So anytime you have your CPC or your cost per click at a given level, I want you to think, how many clicks will it take for you to break even? Think about that. So I said 50 cents cost per click, $2 is going to be my net profit for a sale. I've only got 4 opportunities. So I want to make sure I'm getting 1 in 4 conversions on that specific keyword. It's going to be depend a lot on your risk aversion as well. So if you're the type of person that's like, yeah, not feeling that, maybe I can go for 8 cents or 10 cents cost per click. Well, you are then having a little bit more wiggle room. There's a little less risk. 10 cents cost per click and $2, you know, you're dealing with about 20 clicks altogether. So that's not bad, right? All right, so let's push forward. Here's an important one here, folks. This is something I've learned, and this is something I've actually had to kind of walk back at one point or another on a specific stance I used to say. Less is more. Even though you're allowed up to 1,000 keywords, doesn't mean you have to use all those 1,000 keywords. It's good for a research ad, but it is rather limiting. I would recommend you use 100 to no more than 500 keywords in total. And when you're dealing with, say, categories, even less still. Products, less still. You're going to want to have some wiggle room on a specific ad. All ads have a little bit of a shelf life to them. The longer they've been out, the more they start to lose their relevance and they start to die down. One of the best ways to revive that is being able to take some of those search term reports in the keywords and the products and categories and adding it to the current one. And that way breathes more life into that. You don't have to do that. You can always start a new ad with those search term report if you want to. But I kind of like the fact that I can keep an ad rolling. It's a little more set and forget, although it's not completely set and forget. And you'll hear my thoughts about set and forget here soon. Brian Cohen, he actually has an Amazon ad school that he talks a little bit more about Amazon advertising. He has a 5-day Amazon ads challenge. By the way, this is not a promotion for him. But his stance is 100 to 150 keywords. His belief is that it all has to do with getting the most relevant keywords for your campaign. And when you try to load up too many of the keywords, you kind of confuse Amazon. And it's going, I don't know which to choose. And then it just kind of sits there dead in the water. Whereas if you get less options to the Amazon advertising platform to serve you, they're going to go, oh, okay, well, shoot, here's my opportunity. I'm going to go ahead and serve it here. Now, me, personally, do I agree with this? This is going to vary case-by-case situation. Me, personally, I look at research ads help determine relevant and high converting keywords. And to do those research ads, like I mentioned last time, is you want to load it up with keywords. So that way you get the low hanging fruit. You see what converts the best for the least amount. You're not just doing it at 30 or 35 cents. You're going 10, 11 cents to like 16 cents. It's much better than trying to go in there with a smaller list and trying to bid higher and compete with people that are a bit more relevant in your niche, that are selling more books, that are going to convert better on their Amazon ads. Okay, so I just want to say special thanks to our sponsors here today, folks, of Pro Writing Aid. The more you use Pro Writing Aid, the more you grow as a writer. Folks, I've got the lifetime access myself. I highly recommend you get it too. Go over to dailylinks.com/ProWritingAid to get free access or 20% off premium access. I highly recommend it. Final tip as we start to wrap up today's podcast, folks. Amazon ads isn't set and forget. It really isn't. I know I kind of teased at that a little bit earlier, so I said set and forget, but technically there's really no set and forget about it. You're going to have to always mind your ads, at least on a daily basis. You're going to need to mind it on a weekly basis as well as a monthly basis. I would never let it go past a week, ever, because you're going to need to go back into your search terms report and make sure that you're gathering all of those low converting keywords and those high converting keywords. And folks, it takes time. It takes time for you to actually test, tweak, do a lot of trial and error to find out your best performing ads. When you find those best performing ads, you can then start to build on top of them and make a second version, and then make a third version and a fourth version. And the more versions that you start to stack up top of it, you'll pick up momentum. You'll build more relevance for your given title and its given niche and keywords. There's going to be more sales. Amazon's going to naturally want to push that out even beyond your Amazon ads. And then everybody's going to be winning. I talk a lot more about this over in my book called Promotional Strategies for Books. You can actually get your hands on it at dalelinks.com/ASP. That's Amazon Self-Publisher. And actually, at the time of this podcast recording, it will actually be, well, let's see here, in another week, we'll be launching the Amazon Self-Publisher series. You can actually get your hands on that if you go over to dalelinks.com/self-pub-book. That actually has all three books in the Amazon Self-Publisher series, including Promotional Strategies for Books. Hey folks, subscribe or follow me on your preferred podcasting platform, and do me a favor, leave a review. It would mean the world to me. Till next week, we're going to be talking about marketing and promoting your book a lot more in the coming weeks. You're going to want to make sure you stay tuned. In the meantime, I will talk to you next week, folks. Take care.
You've been listening to the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast. Visit us at selfpublishingwithdale.com for more information on how you can level up your publishing business. Also, get a rock-solid action plan for your next book launch when you sign up for our email newsletter at selfpublishingwithdale.com/checklist. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.